Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Woodard, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. So thank you once again for calling. And I'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Hope that everything went well with enjoying your families and all of the good food, and most of all to be reminded of what this season is all about. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I want to thank Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield for allowing me to come on before you every week. And this is the last program of 2019. Glory to God. Looking forward to 2020. Anybody looking forward to 2020? And they are the assistant pastors of Turn on the Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. And that's in Stockbridge, Georgia, where the senior pastor is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. The lead pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. And they also have a program that comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's called Turn on the Light. Turn on the Light broadcast, which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I thank you once again for calling in. And before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song to set the atmosphere, amen?
I worship you.
worship you. You are here, meeting every need. I worship you. I worship you. Ore re re motion de amade ke ame.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that's who you are, God. Creator of all things. Omnipresent, all seeing, all knowing, magnificent, wonderful, marvelous, awesome, glorious, holy, righteous. That is who you are, God. Hallelujah. We honor you tonight, God. We bless your name, Father. We give you glory, Lord, for you're wonderful. Thank you for being with us this year, God, for never leaving nor forsaking us. Thank you for the victories, God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Well, thank you once again for calling in. So let's get into the word, amen. I'm going to be coming to you out of the book of St. Matthew, the first chapter. So I'm going to read verses 1, 2, 6, and then I'm going to read 16 on out. So St. Matthew, the first chapter, starting at verse 1, and it reads, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren." Verse 6 says, "And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah." Verse 16 says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Now, at the beginning of this chapter, it talks about the genealogy of Jesus, the generation of Jesus, starting from Adam all the way down to where it mentions Joseph. So the generations from Adam all the way down to where it mentions Joseph. But it actually starts with Abraham in verse 2. So I neglected to read all of those names for the sake of, number one, not messing them up, but also to speed up the process a little bit. So in verse 16 it says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And see, during those times, it was against the law for somebody to fornicate, as you will, or even commit adultery. Where in this situation, Mary and Joseph were engaged. So they had planned the wedding, getting ready to get married soon. But all of a sudden, Mary becomes pregnant. So, in the mind of Joseph, you can imagine what he was going through. How in the world, and why, what in the world is going on? But also, according to the law, because they were engaged, and the way that it looked like Mary had cheated because she was pregnant. And according to the law, Joseph could make a public showing of her and have her stoned. So this is what was going through the mind of Joseph. What am I going to do about this situation? So let's go back to verse 20. It says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, was being interpreted as God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, meaning that they didn't have sex, they didn't consummate the marriage, until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. The title of the message tonight is The Godfather of Jesus. The Godfather of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. For we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father, for your plan of salvation. Thank you, Father, for considering us a people who were living a life of sin. And the only way that we could be saved was by you sending your son Jesus into this world and allowing him to live as a natural man to be tempted and to be an example by living a sinless life, to go to the cross, Father, to take the sins of the world and to die on that cross with the heart of forgiveness. Thank you, Father, for your plan. And now, Father, as we hear this message tonight, let it stir us up. Let it challenge us. Let it charge us and even change us, Father, that we may go out and make an impact in this world for your kingdom, that your Son, Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah, our King, may be glorified. We thank you and we praise you. We glorify you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. The Godfather of Jesus. Well, let's go to Isaiah, the seventh chapter. I'm going to turn to Isaiah, the seventh chapter, and kind of get an understanding of what was going on during that time. Amen. Isaiah 7, starting at verse 10. And it reads, "Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it, either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. I pause there to think about this situation. God told Ahaz to ask thee a sign from me. But Ahaz said, no, I'm not going to ask you a sign. Neither will I tempt you. That right there is a sign of disobedience. Because he told him to ask, but then he refused to ask. I just wanted to point that out. Verse 13 says, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? This is Isaiah speaking to the people. Says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Verse 17 says, the Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come, from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. Okay, who is this guy Ahaz? Let's see who he is. Ahaz, he was an evil king of Judah from the time of 735 to 715 B.C., before Christ. Ahaz, whose name means he has grasped, was the son of successor of Jotham as king of Judah and the father of Hezekiah. The Bible characterizes Ahaz as an evil man who participated in the most monstrous of idolatrous practices. His 16-year reign was contemporary with the prophets Isaiah, Isaiah, and Micah. Isaiah gave counsel to Ahaz when Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, king of Israel, joined forces to attack Jerusalem. The prophet Oded rescued some captives from Israel. Ahaz refused the prophet's advice, just like he refused to ask God for a sign. An appeal for help to Tiglath-Pileser III of Assyria. That appeal and resulting entanglement had unfortunate results religiously and politically, in that Ahaz surrendered to Assyrian domination. So this is what was going on. He even placed an altar made from Assyrian model in the temple. And then it says, Ahaz suffered the final humiliation of not being buried in the royal tombs. So he was considered an evil king of Judah. This is who Ahaz was. But I wanted to point out, in verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And see, during that time, Israel was split. They had two kings. So they weren't a nation as one, as God had designed them to be. So let's go to Isaiah, the ninth chapter. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 and 7 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So this is the prophecy of the coming child, the coming king, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. All right, so let's go to Galatians, the fourth chapter. Galatians 4. I just want to lay a foundation before we get into the meat of this message. Amen. Galatians 4, starting at verse 1. And it reads, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So this is Paul talking to the Galatians and explaining to them that we were under the tutors and the governors of the laws until an appointed time of the Father, that Father being God Almighty. And verse 4 says, But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's interesting. I just thought about normally one of the first things we understand from a baby, an infant, is dada. Mother, don't take this personally. But that's interesting that one of the first things we understand that comes from a baby is dada. That's what stuck out to me when I read this verse. It says, I'm going to read it again. Verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7 says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So I wanted to lay that foundation of the prophecy of Jesus coming into this world, and then the reason for him coming was to reconcile us back to the Father. All right, now let's look at Godfather. What's a Godfather? A Godfather says a man who sponsors a person at baptism. One having a relation to someone or something analogous to that of a male sponsor to his godchild, as one that founds, supports, or inspires. So this is what a godfather is. Says one having a relation to someone analogous to that of a male sponsor to his godchild, as one that founds, supports, and inspires. So that's the role of a godfather. To lay a foundation, to support that particular child, and to inspire that particular child. And the word analogous, A-N-A-L-O-G-O-U-S, it says showing an analogy or a likeness that permits one to draw an analogy, being or related to as an analog, something that is analogous or similar to something else. So that's what a godfather is. When someone looks at a godfather, they kind of see themselves in that particular person, because it says that he's similar, have the same traits, so to speak, the same character, the same personality. Because you're not just going to pick anybody, you shouldn't just pick anybody to be the godfather of your child, especially a son. Because Jesus said, the thing that I say and the thing that I do is because I hear my Father say them and I see him do them. So I'm imitating him. So we have to be careful with the men that we have in our children's lives. Amen. And so it's interesting that God chose Joseph, a carpenter. But he was more than a carpenter. Let's go back to St. Matthew, the first chapter. St. Matthew's 1 and verse 19. It says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now let's go to Proverbs right quick. Proverbs, the 20th chapter. Because what stuck out to me was, it said that Joseph was a just man. Joseph was a just man. Proverbs 20th chapter and verse 7. But we're going to start at verse 5, amen? It says, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding would draw it out." And see, that's what Joseph did. He heard the word. But before that, the situation that he was in, he thought about the best way to handle this situation. How can I do this? It said privately, without exposing her, without making her look bad. That's a wise man. And then verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find?" A faithful man, who can find? So that's the kind of man that God was looking for. Because it wasn't about him. It was about the promised seed. It was about the purpose of Jesus being born into this world. So he needed somebody that would help carry out that mission, that purpose of Jesus being born. Keep that in mind. And verse 7 says, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Said he was a just man. Well, what is just? Just is conforming to a standard of correctness. Proper, faithful to an original. It says, acting or being in conformity with what is morally upright or good, righteous. That's what just means legally correct, lawful, which is what we're about to get into in a minute. It says legally correct, lawful. So Joseph was a wise man. He was a faithful man. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was a man of integrity behind closed doors. He still did what was right before God. He was a lawful man, obeyed the laws of the land. So let's go to 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Starting at the 14th verse. 1 Corinthians 4, starting at 14. And it reads, I write not these things to shame you. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. But as my beloved sons, I warn you, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. Glory to God. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. How many men can say that? Be ye followers of me. And the reason why he said that, he was saying, imitate me, follow me as I imitate and follow Christ. And verse 17 says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son in the faith, not biologically, in the faith, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So I'm going to send you my son in the faith, Timothy. And he's going to remind you of what I taught you, of how I lived before you, the things that I said and the things that I did by imitating Christ. So I wanted to point that out. So out of all of the great men in the Bible, like Adam, who had a one-on-one relationship with God, talking to him face to face in the Garden of Eden. Abraham, who God considered a friend, who had a personal relationship with him. Moses, whom he chose to deliver the people out of Egypt, the people of Israel, the Jews. And Moses even asked him to show me your glory, God. That's just how close they were. Job, who God challenged Satan and asked him, have you considered my servant Job, a perfect man, a man who eschews evil? Perfect meaning righteous, being in right standing with God. Then we have David, who God said he was a man after mine own heart, a king. And then Solomon, who was one of the richest men to ever live. And the Bible says that he was the wisest. So those are just some of the quote-unquote great men of the Bible that we read about. But none of those he chose to be the godfather of his son Jesus, except Joseph, a carpenter. So it's interesting that he chose this man to be the caretaker, so to speak, of his only begotten son, to bring him up in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord, training him in the way that he should go, teaching him the word of God, living a godly life before him. Joseph didn't cuss. Joseph didn't smoke. Joseph didn't drink. Joseph didn't go out and party. Joseph didn't sleep around. He was a just man, a faithful man, a wise man, a righteous man, a man of integrity. So let's go to St. Luke, second chapter. St. Luke, the second chapter, starting at verse 1. The Godfather of Jesus. And it reads, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." So that's where him being a lawful man came into play. Because the king had sent out a decree that everyone should go back to their native parts where they were from and pay taxes. So this is how God used Joseph to get Mary and Jesus to Bethlehem. Because that's where Joseph was from. And see, a lot is not being told about Joseph. So that's why God led me to share this message tonight about just how important Joseph was. He wasn't just a plain old carpenter. No, to me, because God chose him to be the godfather of his son. Aside from Jesus, he's the most important person in this Bible. Because without him being obedient, first of all, to the word of God, and then secondly, to the laws of the land. Who knows? Who knows? So he's not just a plain old carpenter or just the husband of Mary. No, he was the godfather of Jesus, the caretaker, the one who was chosen to raise up the Son of God to instill in him everything he needed to prepare him for his mission. So let's continue. Says in verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So even during that journey, once he got to Bethlehem, he was going from place to place. I need help. I have a wife who is pregnant and is in labor, is about to have a baby. Can we stay here? Time after time, he was told, no, we don't have any room. So he was led to a place where the cattle, listen to me, the cattle were placed. You got the goats, the sheep, the oxen. This is the only place that Joseph could find where they could spend the night. So he didn't give up. And so it's interesting that the man that God chose to be the godfather of his son is also of the lineage of David. So he just wasn't anybody. He was somebody who nobody knew about, but God knew. So I ask you this question. What gift, because that's who Jesus was. He was a gift to the world. The perfect gift What gift has God placed in your hands? What has He instilled in you? And what are you doing with it? Are you protecting it? Are you cultivating it? Are you taking care of it? Are you making sure that it represents who God is? That's the question that God is asking tonight. I trusted you with this gift. Now, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to present it to the world? The Godfather of Jesus. So all of us are either Godfathers or Godmothers of something. That God has placed in our lives to present to this world. So that He will get His glory. That Jesus will be magnified. That He will be lifted up. What are you the Godfather of? What are you the Godmother of? Neglect not the gift that is in you. Because that gift, watch this, just like the gift that God gave Joseph and Mary, it made room for them and brought them before great men. Because the wise men showed up and gave gifts to them. Your gift will make room for you. So don't neglect it. Use it for the glory of God. Amen. The Godfather of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your message. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. And thank you for showing us that just because someone may not have the financial status, the position, the popularity, that doesn't matter to you, Father. What matters is if we're faithful, if we're righteous, if we're wise, if we're just, people of integrity. That's what matters. So thank you, Father, for showing us who Joseph was. And thank you for entrusting him with your only begotten son to imitate you. And we will take this message, Father, and apply it to our lives and walk out our destiny for your glory. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Well, that ends this message tonight. I want to thank you once again for calling in. And prepare for the year of 2020. I'll give you a preview. What you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. Bless you. Love you. I have a little under 2 minutes left if anybody wants to make a comment or share a testimony. Ask for prayer. Just click the number one. Amen. Well, thank you once again for calling. Be blessed. Merry Christmas. And have a happy, prosperous, blessed New Year. Good night.